You want to know what you need more of in your life? Politics. Yeah, nobody ever said that. But if you've got to go ahead and spend money on one nonfiction book, it's got to be the ultimate clash of wisdom, awesomeness, and then obviously the politics. But why not a little bit of comedy? Why not a little bit of a memoir? Why not something that's going to make you say, hey, I actually enjoyed reading this. I laughed. I learned something in the process. Check out my book. It's an Amazon bestseller. You may have heard of it. It's Stay Away from the Libertarians. It talks about all the things you think you might know about libertarians, plus a lot of things that I bet dollars to donuts you don't know about. You can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. So go on right now. You can get it in print or ebook or Kindle or whatever you call it. Just go out and get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble online today. It's Stay Away from the Libertarians by Remso W. Martinez. Happens to be me.
Hey, I'm Matt Conroy, country Americana songwriter and recording artist, and you're listening to the Remso Martinez Experience.
Pop quiz. You wake up one day and you think, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of change my whole life around. I'm going to go ahead and focus more on my family, and I'm going to do that by cramming everyone I love into an RV and go across the country. So that sounds like the making of a bad, you know, reality sitcom, right? Well, I'm sorry, a reality show, sitcom, one or the other. Ah, screw it. This is the Remso Martinez Experience. All right, folks, welcome to another episode of the Remso Martinez Experience. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Do me a quick favor, go and download Vero. It's the politically free, it's the stupid SJW free. It's basically what social media is supposed to be. It's supposed to be social. It's focused around music, art, photography, interesting content, movies, books, you name it. It's what we're actually hoping that social media would have been, a place where people can just unplug from the world and just have a little bit of fun without the craziness that our modern social media experience has turned into. People selling your data, fights everywhere, shadow banning, purging. If you just want to have a good time, check out Vero, and you can go ahead and follow me on Vero just at Remso Martinez. Got the blue little check mark there and everything. Anyway, on to the show. We've got a good friend coming back on. You may have remembered him the last time we were talking about blockchain technology, third parties, you know, the same gambit. But this time, things have gone a little bit differently. The past 5 months that, you know, that we've kind of been back since we relaunched the show, I've been trying to get away from just, you know, what I call typical thinking. You know, the typical way we see the world. You're not part of the world, you're just a tool in it. You can't really, you know, change your life. You can just adapt to it. And whether it's been, you know, spiritually, physically, financially, the one thing that I've been trying to go on to discover, and we've had a lot of amazing guests to talk about this with, is that you really can not necessarily control every aspect of your life, but you can make your life accommodate the life that you want to live. And the person that we're going to go ahead and talk to today has really tried to do that. He's really tried to focus on what's best for him, what's best for his family, so that way they can, you know, I don't know if it's live a more fulfilling life or get more out of it. We'll let him answer all this stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, you know him from his work over the Libertarian Republic. Ladies and gentlemen, Eli Bowman. Eli, it's great to have you back on the show again.
Man, I am so happy to be back, Remso. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's not a problem. And, you know, for a little while, I thought that, you know, your appearance on last time may have ruined your life because of your association with me, because the last time that we spoke, you basically moved into an RV and you've been fleeing across the country. That's not my fault, obviously, but man, Like, what happened? I mean, I follow you on Facebook, and you guys are having more fun than most people I know when they go on road trips. Usually it's, you know, the first couple days are fun. Then, you know, everyone has to get used to, you know, being sleep deprived and sharing one bathroom. Right. And then you want to murder everyone. And then everyone goes home at the end of the week. But this is now month 18 of you and your family's road trip adventure. How'd this get started? And, you know, what are you trying to do? What are you guys doing?
It wow. How did it start? Well, first of all, if I do get in trouble, I'm just going to blame you. If for some reason the feds catch up to me somehow and I'm wanted somewhere, I'm just going to say, you know what? This is all Remzo's doing. It's his fault we're here. It's his fault we're in an RV.
Look but, what he did to my kids.
Exactly. So that way I can get off scot-free.
Get in line.
But we, you know, my wife had this crazy idea to put our family in a really tiny little home on wheels and travel the country. And for 2.5 years, I was just a hard pass. I thought, that's silly. My business is here, and we're from Columbus, Ohio. You know, I thought my business is in Columbus. My friends are here. I have some family here. A lot of family had moved, but I still had some. I was basically thinking of anything I possibly could to hang on to back home. Exactly. That's exactly right. I was comfortable and I didn't want to stretch my comfort zone. But over time, man, my wife just kept chipping at me. And, you know, I'm a churchgoer, and I kind of felt like God was kind of doing the same thing. And I thought, okay, I better listen. So long story short, I finally got on board and thought to myself, okay, this might be cool to get into an RV and to just take our kids, whom we homeschool anyway, across the country and give them sort of an enhanced version of education. And that's what we did, Remzo. We bought a 40-foot RV. It's a Class A diesel pusher. Now, I'll just explain what that is. RVs, there's a bunch of different kinds of RVs. You got to think like tour bus. So it's a huge bus, and it's got slide outs on the sides that make it bigger when you park. And to drive it, you just walk to the front, and there's a big old steering wheel, kind of like a big semi truck, and it's like driving. It's like driving a semi truck, to be honest.
It's like the Millennium Falcon of RVs.
And you got it. And I can almost do the Kessel Run in, was it 12?
Oh, I think it's 12, like 12 parsecs.
12 parsecs. Yeah. I'd love to see that thing do it in 1200 parsecs. But it was a big transition just driving my little compact sedan, a little Kia that I had at home, to driving this monster. Not only that, we're towing our minivan across the country too. So we have a whole bunch of footage that I got to manage. But anyway, it has been quite the journey so far.
And I mean, how long did you originally intend on doing this?
I told my wife that I would commit to a year at the most. And I thought, okay, if I tell her a year, maybe we're looking at, you know, 8 to 10 months in reality before we really get uncomfortable and turn around and come home. Well, I fell in love with the lifestyle. I went through some personal changes on this. I've gone through some personal changes on this trip. When I say personal changes, what I mean is just, you know, positive changes. I've lost 71 pounds.
Oh my God.
And I'm reading a lot more than I used to. I'm writing more. My education has really improved as far as, you know, all the areas that I really want to educate myself on. I'm reading more classics in literature, listening to more classic music, and my kids are benefiting also. So we've really kind of gone through some changes, my whole family, on this trip. But a lot of people just wonder, you know, why would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, it seems a bit like, I don't want to say radical, but it's definitely not what most people would consider the most normal choice when you talk about bringing your family closer. Some people would think counseling. Some people would think a vacation. I mean, this is a drastic life change for many people.
It is. It is a drastic life change. And you're right. It is weird. When I say weird, I mean, when you see people's faces – I remember when we were preparing, when I was telling my, you know, my associates and my customers and my friends what we were doing, and I got the same look from all of them, which was just sort of this blank expression of confusion and and trying to understand if I was joking or if I was serious. But it is received in a very interesting way by most people.
Because when I think of a Mormon family traveling across country in an RV, I think that there might be, you know, some strange stuff going on based off some bad apples in the past. So, like,
sure.
Without knowing you, I've been like, okay, like, where are all the guns? What's happening right now? What's going on? Those really your kids? Really?
Like, what's going on? I may or may not have firearms in the RV. I will neither confirm nor deny.
Good answer.
Right. So it's been – we homeschooled the kids beforehand, and it was one thing to read about Monticello, a place you're familiar with, it being in your backyard. And it's a different thing to go there and to walk on the grounds and to hear, you know, from experts in front of your face the stories of things that happened there, not only with Thomas Jefferson, but the atrocities with slave ownership and just slaves in general in Virginia at that time. The education my children have been getting on this RV journey has been, you know, next to none. I mean, second to none, basically. It has been a top-notch, world-class education, mostly in history, because, you know, when you're traveling the country, you can go to these historic places, and they can feel what it's like to be there. We went to the slave quarters in Mount Vernon when we were in Virginia. By the way, we loved Virginia, and who knows, we may end
up there the when we're done. State. We are the best state. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Well, we're thinking of moving there when we're done with this. To be honest, that's how great of an experience we had. But even going up to, you know, upstate New York and seeing some of the history there. Now we've gone out west. We were in California for 6 months. So the education has been top notch. But you mentioned vacation. Amazing. You mentioned vacation, and I want to say something on this, because a lot of when we post our parts of our journey on social media, the reaction is, "Wow, you guys are traveling a lot on this vacation," and it's not a vacation. It's actually just our lifestyle right now. So I feel like that's like we're trying to correct people every once in a while. Now we're not on vacation. You know, as I'm doing typing fingers as I say this, we're not on vacation.
Quote, this is vacation.
Just, yeah, okay. Right. This is just how we live these days until we're done. So, and we will be done. I can't imagine we will be going into 2020 full timing in our RV anymore. We'll probably still own our RV, but we'll probably be starting to sort of organize routes again. Wherever we decide to end up. Virginia leading the way, but Utah maybe a close second.
Well, I mean, Virginia always leads the way, but I'll I won't correct you on that anymore. I think, you know, I want to talk about more of the vacation aspect, because I read an article the other day saying, you know, why is it America the most prosperous country on the face of the world? You know, its people on average are more sleep deprived, are more overworked, and take less personal time off than any other developed nation in the world. And at first I thought it was kind of a joke, but I think what we've done is we've oriented our life towards production. And, you know, I'm talking very, very basic terms here, folks. Like,
sure.
You know, I don't want it to sound like, oh, you know, we're the producers, therefore we have to constantly work. No, I'm talking like we orient our lives towards the pursuit of, you know, a certain financial goal, a certain market value, how society deems us as being successful people. I think when we just follow that collective mindset, I think we tend to lose a part of ourselves and we start to put our own passions aside. We ignore our own mental health. I mean, how is it that the most prosperous country in the world, where we are so blessed, you know, to just live here, why is it we're the most depressed in Western civilization?
That's a really good question.
Right. And I think that what we've done is we've said, you know, you have to earn joy. You have to earn relaxation. And to a large degree, I think that is true. Like, if you're on food stamps and you're not doing well, I don't think you should plan that Disney World vacation. If you can't retire at 65 and you think you're going to be retiring in your 80s and you're going to be a Walmart greeter, you should not take, you know, a lot of extra time off and just spend your money on frivolous stuff. But for a lot of people, we ignore that part of ourselves that say we need to rest and we need to do something different, because we're not chasing our definition of happiness. We're chasing what we've been told is happiness.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think that's a really excellent analysis, because you're right about America. When even from the very beginning, we had a grit about us, and the grit was, you know, we made it work. That's what we've done since the 1700s. We've always, in really the 1600s, we've made it work over here in this land, and it is ingrained into our culture. And I was there before we left. That was me, honestly, Remso. It was me not wanting to get uncomfortable. It was, I have my work here. This is where I'm doing all of my things. And why would I change? Why would I go on this RV trip? So I would definitely say I was in that group. But now that I've gone on it and I've seen so much of the country, and I've been able to sort of maybe break free of that mentality of I have to produce all the time, I am honestly happier now, Remso. I have worked far less on this trip than I did when I was back. And somehow, you know, we're making it work, and we're not just making it work, but we're loving it.
How would you describe your relationship with your family during this process? I mean, obviously it wasn't too drastic of a change. I mean, like I was a homeschooler for a little bit. And even though I was around my parents all the time, it still felt like, you know, I'm not really spending additional time with my family just to enjoy their presence. It's like we're around each other all day. We've gone through this stuff. Dad's coming home from work. Mom's tired of teaching us. I'm tired of seeing my brother. It's like at the end of the day, we all just kind of go to our own rooms and just, you know, distract ourselves with a tablet or something. Now you guys are in a very confined space, and you're dealing with each other, not just, you know, in the same physical presence, but now you're kind of forced to interact with each other. And I know for a lot of families, like, they all say they love each other until you're all sharing one bathroom.
Well, so let me give you some context here and how that point kind of applies to us. Some of your listeners know just from me being on in the past, but if you don't know, I have my wife and I had a set of twins. And then about 2.5 years later, we had a set of triplets. So we have five kids, and they're all, well, I know you knew that, but yeah, that's the reaction we tend to get.
It's still kind of shocking when you think of like the time between. You really didn't have a time to like, okay, we've got the one kid to screw up. Like, I was the firstborn child, so I was called the crash test baby. And then my brother comes around 3 years later, and they're like, we're going to get this little bastard right. So, you know, you guys really didn't have any breathing space between any of that.
No, we went from 0 to 5 in 2.5 years. So it is. But hey, only two birthdays to remember, Remso. So, you know, that part is a little easier. But they're big birthdays. But so, you know, at home, we had three bedrooms between the five kids. So, you know, a couple of them shared, and that was fine. But they had space. And we had two bathrooms at our house. And so, again, if someone was in there, you just went to the other one. No big deal. Now, not only do they share one bathroom, and there is only one shower, there is one sink, they all sleep, Remso, they all sleep in the same main cabin area of the RV. So it's basically that all five of them share a room. Now, my wife and I have our room in the back, and we have our queen bed and our space. So, you know, mom and dad are going to get we're going to get what we want to get. Of course, we're funding this whole excursion, but the kids just have that one spot. And so, to your point about the family dynamic and relationships, is it perfect? No, of course it isn't. I mean, these kids are so close together. There's going to be some tension, but just this morning, this very morning, my oldest daughter, who is 10, we were kind of doing some study, and the question came up, well, what are some things that you're thankful for? And she said, I'm thankful to be a part of this family. And she's sort of changing now. She's sort of getting a little bit more attitude. She turns 11 later this year. She's kind of getting into that. I have a little bit more attitude. I'm a little bit more independent. That little, that emo stage that comes at the very, very onset of puberty. So we're getting a little bit of that attitude. The kids I could describe as best frenemies. I think you might know what that means.
That is the best way to describe it, because with my family, we weren't, I won't say that we were in the exact same situation as yours was in. Ours, we didn't really have a choice. My father is an active duty Army officer. So we moved from the time I was 7 years old. We moved to a different place every year until I was about 13, 14, when we moved to Virginia in 2008. We've been lucky enough to stay here. So I was able to complete high school here. I went off to Alabama for 2 years, and I came back to finish my undergrad, and then I moved back home. But, I specifically, my brother was a bit different. I was public schooled, homeschooled, and private schooled. Ryan went to public school for a couple of years, but we found that for his own learning aperture, like, it was better for him to be homeschooled. That's just where he thrived more.
Sure.
With me, sure. I was a bit, like, I'm not going to say I was a social butterfly, but, like, it's more like I thought my mom was going to probably, drive her car into a wall if she had to deal with me another day. So I think I did what was considered an act of love, and I gave my mom the gift of not having to deal with me 24/7 in that way. So I
very selfless.
Yeah. So I keep telling her, like, you're welcome. But do you right. like not having gray hairs good. Right now? You're welcome. But, it was really just me and my family for the longest time. It was just the four of us. And we always had, we have the dog and the cats. Like, it was just us. And, there was one point in our life where when we moved to Australia, we were in a hotel for over 8 weeks. And during that time, we definitely got to know each other a little bit more because we were all sharing one bathroom.
Oh,
and that's
sure.
And that's why I totally right. – that's why I've been focusing in on the one bathroom thing, because you never know – like, your depth of hatred or love for someone until you have to share one bathroom. And, we did
And you
that.
Also never know how well your kids can dance when they're waiting outside of that bathroom door. Three, in a
they're
line,
gonna,
three
they're gonna
kids
look
deep,
like Will,
all three kids.
Yeah, they're going to look like freaking Will
exactly.
Smith at some point. But, like, that was – it was one of those situations where I think a lot of families, especially in our, suburban middle-class communities, I think –
Yep.
We love our families. We want to keep our families together. But because of the constant, work climate we're in, where, you got to also make sure the kids are going to all their sports and all their clubs and they're going to play dates and with everything else, I think the families, I think they have a harder time responding to big, internal personal problems that all families have when they don't necessarily really get quality time together. Versus when, you've gone through some of those more gentle growing pains as a family because you've been forced to interact
sure.
with each other in a way where it's like you're actually making eye contact. You're not Skyping from the, from the basement of the house to the top floor saying that dinner's ready.
And you're face to face a lot of the time. You're right in front of each other, elbow to elbow, face to face. And you're right. There is something in that type of interaction that is not duplicatable digitally in any way. So no, you're absolutely right. And we've experienced that. And you had mentioned something about camping and being together in like a small space. I feel like there are some cons to this. This isn't always, beautiful, and this isn't like, oh, they're going to all these, national parks and these beautiful
places. Like
on
taco night, you better make sure that the windows are open. Or else the whole family pays.
excellent example. Yeah, exactly. And speaking of, it is Tuesday today, so I might hit up some tacos later. But and out west, there was always Taco Tuesday sales.
Always.
But in our clothes, for example, we don't have a lot of space. There's not a lot of storage space in RVs, and so you have to deal with less. And I have like the same maybe five shirts that I rotate through, and they're getting beat up. And same with my pants, my shoes are all tore up, and it's like that with my whole family. So we go to these really pretty places, we post this really pretty picture on social media, and we don't do it because it's pretty, we do it because that's what that's just what we're doing at the time. But if you zoom in on all of our shoes, you'll see how banged up and beat up they are. If you zoom in on my shirt, you'll see some stain, a little dot stain here and a dot stain there. And that's part of the cost of this camping sort of lifestyle.
Yeah. And I want to kind of transition to that aspect. As you mentioned, you owned a business. obviously, you know, when you decide to get the RV and start kind of moving around all 50 states, like, what did the financial portion of that look like? I mean, was your wife working? Did you have to get a new job that was more on, you know, internet based, you know, remote based? I mean, how did that look financially? Did you lose money? Did you make money? I mean, how does that whole thing work? Because for a lot of people, the big thing is going to be, you know, they're going to assume that you must have had like a whole bunch of like Mormon gold stocked somewhere and then you just took it out and now you're just gonna go.
Which is the best kind of gold, by the way.
Absolutely. We all know that underneath every Mormon temple is a giant stack of gold just for these trips. But like, oh, you got quiet. Is that real? I was just joking. Oh, no. Am I onto something? Am I gonna die real. Later? Anyway, like what did the financial portion of this whole thing look like? How long did it take to kind of figure it out? And what was it like once you started actually going on the road?
Well, first of all, kudos for asking that question, because I think that's the question that most people are curious about.
The Mormon
and
gold.
It doesn't surprise – not the Mormon gold. Although if I find that to be true, I'm going to buy two shovels. I'll toss you one and we'll go to temple to temple. And how about that?
Oh, my gosh. That's my retirement right there. Don't get me excited.
Well, people like to, they're curious, you know, how do you pay for this type of trip? You know, and we kept our house. We didn't sell our house. Most full-time families, they sell their home to buy an RV, and that's sort of what they live in. And then when they're done doing the RV life, they've got to negotiate how they're going to settle back into a house, and that can be tricky. And I'll answer this very briefly because what I do is not really interesting, or it's not sexy. It's kind of boring. I own a business.
You're not cooking meth out of your RV. We can assume.
Correct.
That.
No. That would be 100 times more exciting than what I do.
It would be the real life Breaking Bad, except instead of one minor accomplice, you've got five.
Right. It's like Breaking Bad meets like, you know, One Big Happy. And, that's what it would be, right? So I own a company that helps other businesses pay less to accept plastic, like Visa, MasterCard. You know, when companies accept plastic, they've got to pay a fee, usually around 3%, you know, to accept those payments.
That's why
reduce
no one likes
that
MasterCard.
Right, exactly. So I reduce that fee for businesses, and it doesn't cost them a dime for me to do that. But the processing company does compensate my company, and so but the compensation is recurring. It's a passive residual revenue stream.
Oh, nice.
So I've built a business, and my customers are all happy. And every month, my processing partners are paying me some revenue, you know, for bringing them new customers. And so those residual checks, that passive income has funded this whole trip. And that's why I have so much free time. That's why I haven't really worked on this trip. I understand in fact, most people aren't in that position to where they have a passive income stream where they can kind of spend
it. Most people don't understand what passive income is outside of
real estate. You're right.
Like, I tell people that when I was, you know, unemployed for a large amount of time, I was still making money through residual and passive income. They looked at me like, what the hell is that?
Right. Yeah, it's very misunderstood. Or if they don't understand it through real estate, they think, oh, that's an MLM or a network marketing company type of situation. And that's got sort of a negative stigma as well. But that's how I've been funding it, Remzo. My business that I've built before we left, that's still paying me. And when I'm done, I'll go back to it and continue to grow. Now, you asked about if I've made less money. If you've ever owned a business, and I know you have, you're either growing or you're dying. So I haven't been growing since I've left, and I've only been dying at a very small clip. So we've lucked out so far.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
What else? Because we've covered a lot of stuff. What are some of the stigmas that you've encountered when you tell people that, you know, this is what you and your family are doing? And how much longer do you think you're going to keep doing this? Real quick.
So, yeah, no, we're not going to go into 2020.
Okay.
Doing this. We are going to settle down probably in the late fall. I'm guessing October, November. Virginia or Utah are on the list. As far as how it's been received by people, most people, they admire what we're doing. And I've never heard so many people say, you are doing what I've always wanted to do. And all I can say is, well, find a way to do it, man. again, not always easy for everybody. But you know, if you really, really want something, I always encourage people, you know, go for it. And this is no different. I highly recommend, Remso, that if people are considering even doing 3 months, 6 months in an RV just to travel and see the country, my goodness gracious, please do it. Find a way to get it done.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest, like, first world problem we're going to have, and I think it's already here for the most part, and, you know, of all the problems we could have, I think, you know, this is very, like, low on the totem pole for many people, but, like, existentially, it's a big deal. Like, what we have is this is the largest generation of children without fathers in American history. Mm. In terms of, you know, complaints amongst, you know, millennial children who were, you know, anyone born after 2000, after the year 2000, their biggest complaint is, well, mom and dad either work too much or when they're around me, they're on their phone too much. I think the biggest problem we're going to have is not just, it's not necessarily the rapid decline of the family, but what we're having is a decline in the relevancy of the family. Because when you force your kids to entertain themselves, to just figure things out for themselves, when you're only there when, you know, they need money or something bad has happened, what that's going to do is that's going to make that a relationship just based off need. It's no longer just a relationship based off want. Right. And as I've gotten older, I mean, I'm only 24. Like, you know, I look at some of my friends who are now saying, you know, as they move into their own places and they start to get their own families and their own lives getting started, they say, you know, I wish I had spent more quality time with my parents. I know what they did for me. I appreciate what they did for me. But I wish maybe we had taken just some time just to do something together. And I think, you know, what you're doing is, you know, it might not be making you a lot of money, as we just discussed. It might, you know, have some cons with it, with the one bathroom. But ultimately, this is like an investment in the future longevity of your family's happiness and trust with one another.
It is. It really is. And if you ask my twins, my oldest, if they have had enough time with dad, they'd probably say, yeah, I'd love a break. But that's to be expected when you share such a small place. But you're right. And how many political conversations have you and I had, Remso, and have you had on your show? You mentioned families. It's just crucial. It's so crucial. If we want to see political change, if we want to see the change we want, yeah, it starts within. But after we change within, that next institution is our families. So it is so important for Abby and I, my wife Abby and I, to help teach our kids these core principles of right and wrong, of, you know, what's good and bad, what's true and false. That's been a big part of this trip. And a lot of history, American history, has been consumed on this trip. And my kids, they know government pretty well for their ages. And they understand. They really do. And you, I know that you're not surprised by that. But they understand, like, well, if the government does this, that's not helping my freedom. That's taking away my freedom, Dad. And I'm like, yes, it is. And so we've had some interesting conversations about government. My kids, I'm seeing it as a parent. I'm seeing their eyes open to, you know, maybe labels, maybe like the party systems, maybe that isn't the best thing. Maybe it's about, what do I believe to be right and wrong? And this RV trip has allowed us to sort of see those principles blossom inside of them. It's been wonderful.
And one thing that I definitely want to dig into a little bit with the time we have left, I think one important thing about travel, just as, you know, an experience itself, you know, a lot of people, when they think of travel, they think of, you know, let's go to Universal, let's go to a beautiful island. You know, I call it the Mexico theory. Like, everyone you hear who has gone to Mexico has probably gone to the same safe resort in Cancun. They haven't gone to Juarez and they haven't gone to Mexico City and they have not seen the trouble on the border. That's because we don't want to go to unpleasant places. And the one thing that I think has definitely changed my opinion more recently because of, you know, just some life changes, you know, traveling for work, being out of work, working in strange places where I definitely was like, I have no clue where I am. Like, you get to see the rest of America. And, you know, as someone that's lived on the East Coast for a majority of their life, you know, I have an appreciation for the rest of the country. But what you do have is you have this, you know, it's almost like this balkanization in mindset well, everything is nice because my neighborhood is nice and everywhere I've gone in the state is nice and everywhere I go up the coast is nice. Like, here's the harsh reality. Like, there are a lot of places in America that are struggling. And yes. I don't, you know, we could see it on the news, we could see it in a movie, we could read about it in an article. It's one thing to, you know, like see poverty. I'm sorry, it's one thing to know about poverty, it's another thing to see poverty. How has your travels, apart from just the historical appreciation of how blessed we are living in the United States, how has traveling across the country changed your children's opinions of, you know, what this country is like right now, what it's like for different types of people?
I am so glad you asked this question, because we have seen it. We've seen both. Just 3-4 nights ago, we had some dinner with a friend of mine, and you know, his dad is a billionaire, and he does really well himself. And they have this beautiful, beautiful, huge, large home. And my kids, you know, noticed that, and they, you know, is this guy rich, Daddy? And they kind of had questions about that. But that's been contrasted throughout this trip. I'll never forget when we went to D.C. I mean, I know how familiar you are.
I just shuddered a little bit. I'm like, oh, God, what did he see?
It was, you know, to see.
I'm going to pause you right there.
Yeah.
Do you know what a tumbleweave is?
I do not. No, okay. What is it?
Well, this is how you know you've been in D.C. for too long. A tumbleweave is much like its more Midwestern cousin, the tumbleweed. But the tumbleweave is a loose weave which has fallen off a woman's head, which has tumbled on the street and is now covered with trash, cigarettes, and other things you can't see. Oh. I mean, can't notify. So in certain parts of D.C., the tumbleweave is a rampant part of the local iconic scenery. So you will have to come back, and when you have seen the tumbleweave, you will have gotten a full taste of my favorite city.
Yeah, I can't say we've seen the tumbleweave in its natural environment, no. But but I will say, you know, to your question, and it's a poignant question, my kids saw some poverty there, and I'll never forget the compassion that they had. And I gave some money to some of them that I thought really could use it. And the same thing, we went to L.A. on the other side of the country. We saw these Hoovervilles, you know, that term from the war.
Yeah.
These tents of the people that are homeless. And again, they were moved in that way. When we were staying in San Diego, and I'll make this very brief, we had an opportunity. It kind of fell in our laps to help provide some basic necessities for a young refugee family from the Middle East. Now, this man had worked for his government and had helped and had assisted the U.S. government with some intelligence. Well, word got out, and terrorists were now—he was now on a wanted list and a kill list for some terrorist group. So America got him out of there, and they had gotten there 3 weeks prior to us. And they had nothing. And he had a comfortable life. This family had a comfortable life back home. My kids got to see and hear about these stories. And my kids got to hand over diapers and food to their children. And it was just so special to watch and to see the compassion on their faces and in their hearts. So my kids have seen this great dichotomy of, wow, you know, is this a mansion? Is this guy rich, Dad? To this family has nothing, Dad. I'm so glad we're able to help. So we've had a great variety of flavor in that regard.
Well, Eli, this has been, you know, a remarkably interesting conversation. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to talk to me. I know that this Thursday, so folks, by the time you're listening to this, you know, you have enough time if you're in the area. But this Thursday in Northern Utah, you actually are holding a, you know, kind of a talk about what your family's experienced. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, thanks. So in Logan, at the Utah State University, the LDS Home Education Conference is being held on Thursday, May 30th at 10:30 a.m. I am presenting on road schooling, on what we've been doing with our kids, what we've been doing across the country. You know, this audience just got sort of a taste of what I'm going to talk about. But if you're in the area, come to the LDS Home Education Conference this Thursday. I'm going to be speaking at 10:30. Would love to see you. I'd love to meet you face to face.
Perfect. Well, Eli, thank you so much for, you know, joining us today. And, you know, I pray for nothing but safety and good times on the road as your family, you know, continues to hit up the rest of the country and eventually find out where you're going. And I'm caucusing for Virginia because Virginia's the best. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. So anyway, Eli, if anyone wants to follow you on Twitter, social media, see what's going on, all that jazz, how could they do so?
Yeah, Twitter, it's at Eli Bowman, just my name, and Facebook, it's the same. It's just look up Eli Bowman. You'll see a picture of me looking very serious with a sweater and a tie. But yeah, I'd love to connect with everybody, you bet.
Perfect. Well, folks, is this something that you think you might want to do? Do you have problems with it? Go ahead and let me know. Follow me on Twitter at Remso4VA. That's R-E-M-S-O-F-O-R-V-A. Follow me. I'll follow you back indiscriminately, as well as Vero. I'm trying to pump up Vero, folks. It's an awesome place. Go on there and see for yourself. As always, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're listening. You know the internet better than me, folks. And, you know, take care. Think on good things. And I'll see you next time. This is the Remso Martinez Experience. Good night.